Welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.tv. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and today we're joined by Andy Scheckman, a financial expert in gold and silver. He's with Miles Franklin, and he joined me on an emergency basis to talk about the bank failures that are now accelerating, as you've seen. This is an interview you absolutely do not want to miss because Andy Scheckman is the guy who called it. I mean, there were many people who called it, but Andy Scheckman really nailed it, talking about the BRICS nations and the collapse of the petrodollar status and what's going to happen globally with ultimately the collapse of the fiat currency known as the dollar. Now, what we're seeing right now in the banking system is kind of a precursor to where this is going. The quote, total collapse of the system is not yet happening. It has been averted by a non-bailout bailout by the FDIC, but a much larger collapse is in the making. So stay tuned right here on Brighteon.tv for that interview straight ahead. Welcome everyone to the Health Ranger Report. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. And today, as an emergency topic, you know, we have three banks collapsed over the last week, including Silicon Valley Bank with deposits of over $209 billion. And Andy Scheckman joins us on an emergency basis here because, of course, Andy was right the whole time. I've interviewed him several times. He has been 100% correct about what was going to happen, about the bank failures and the currency collapse. And this is not over, folks. So we're joined today by Andy Scheckman from Miles Franklin. Andy, thank you for joining me today, taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you have 1,000 phone calls to return right now, but thanks for joining me.
I wouldn't miss it, Mike. You're one of the few guys that I personally follow myself. It's truly an honor to be here. And thanks for having me. And thanks for the kind words.
Well, thank you for taking the time. I know your phone is blown up. Let's actually start with that question here. Tell me what's happening today. I mean, we're recording this on Monday. What is it? The 13th, I think, March 13th. And it was yesterday, the emergency announcement from Janet Yellen and the Treasury. What are things looking like right now in your office today?
I was taking orders last night, Mike, till 1:30 in the morning on a Sunday night. And I would say this environment is the closest thing that I've seen to silver squeeze, which happened February 2021, that I've ever seen in a 33-year career. People are scared. You know, they talk about motivation, people's motivation either by greed or by fear. Certainly, you could argue that for the past few decades, our motivation has been greed. People have wanted to make money in equities, in real estate, in the bond market, in cryptos. Everything had been a wonderful ride thanks to the brain-dead monetary policy of the Federal Reserve while they suppressed interest rates and flooded the country with money. The result had been asset prices that had gone sky high, that had a very difficult time finding any real semblance of price discovery. And that environment seems to be certainly coming to an end, replaced with great concern. And, you know, it's one thing when your assets or your portfolio doesn't do so well, like we saw in 2022 with the 10-year treasury down 16%, the biggest decline in the history of the 10-year treasury, and the S&P down 20-25%. That was bad, that stung. But when you see money evaporating and literally disappearing out of banks in the period of a couple of days, that incites a whole different level of anxiety and fear. And honestly, it's very difficult to explain what it's like. The closest thing I can tell you is that one call to the next, 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 all day long. And it's a blessing if you own a company. But it's actually kind of frightening the cumulative anxiety.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but tell us about the emotional state of people calling. Are they rational? Like, I just got red-pilled. I know that this is a way to protect assets, gold and silver, or is there fear? Is there panic? What are people sounding like?
Well, you know, the one phrase, Mike, that I heard more than anything else over the last year or two, long before this ever happened, was I don't want my money in the bank. I just sold a house. I just sold a business. I have extra money. I don't feel comfortable with it in the bank. Now there's tremendous anxiety. There's tremendous fear. They're looking at the derivative exposure. They're looking at the contagion. They're looking at what the FDIC said in November, the Systemic Resolution Advisory Committee, that I hope every one of your listeners is aware of. And I think they're finally getting it. I've been talking about the Systemic Resolution Advisory Committee's November meeting for the past 2 months on almost every podcast, beating this into people's head.
Yep.
And maybe they're like, oh, crap, he was right. I should have listened. And the phones are blowing up. People are really frightened. That's the best way I can explain it.
Well, you know, how quickly this has changed, because as of last week, you know, gold and silver prices continue to be suppressed by the paper markets. The premiums had really fallen from last year. And in fact, as you have mentioned, there was a lot of oversupply of gold and silver, even among retailers, for the last several months. Well, that ends today. I mean, that's done right now. Yeah. By the time people see this, it's done.
Yeah. And I've made, it's funny. You try to do something, genuine. You try to, yes, I own a business. And yes, when I'm out there talking to people this way on shows like yours, and I say the market will be defined by the inability to source product, I caught a lot of heat for that. People thought I was talking my book, but I really wasn't. And you know, we both know some people in the industry, common people, who would echo what I'm saying, Mike, that for the past 3 years, getting product has been the most difficult thing that I've ever experienced in a 33-year career, where you're having to secure product 60 and 90 days in advance, pay for it up front, pay the highest premiums that anyone's ever seen, hedge the gold and silver exposure. You can't hedge the premium. That's a risk. Then run logistics like you're running a freight company. And it's been that way for 3 straight years. And then all of a sudden, it just fell off a cliff. And it started around Thanksgiving of this last year and ran through roughly January here of 2023. And it was unexplainable. And it caught me off guard, caught a lot of companies off guard, where we were making purchases for Australian kangaroos and UK Britannias in late October and November, paying monstrous premiums and waiting 60 to 90 days. By the time they came in, the premiums came down $2.
Right.
And we're selling at a loss. It's been unbelievable. All I can simply say to you is that there was a lull maybe that centered around the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. People wanted to get out without having restrictions, COVID restrictions, and see their family, travel, not wear a mask. And they just let everything drop, including demand for metals. And it was crazy, because what went from a period of ridiculously high premiums and awful availability became restocking central. Everything stocked up, premiums came down. And I've been saying to people, this is a sweet spot. This is not a change. Nothing has changed. In fact, the fundamentals are getting worse. And,
right,
you know, when you realize, Mike, that if you look at the entire financial matrix of the United States, from Joe and Jane Sixpack to the Harvard Endowment Fund, and you give it an allocation to precious metals that is believed to be 0.5%. That's it. So in 1980, it was 8%. And the average of the last 40 years is 2.5%. You go back to that mean, just a 2.5% allocation across the board, it's a fivefold increase in demand. And like that, everything will be gone.
Yep.
Telling you, everything will be gone.
Well, let's get some practical information for people. So if folks want to reach you while there's still some supply, what's the best way for them to reach you?
You know, as we were talking offline, one of the most embarrassing things of my career has been this new website we've been building. I told everyone, including you, that it's just a few weeks away, starting in August, and then in September, and then in October. And then when we talk this winter, just a few weeks away. It's been the worst experience of my 33-year career. People have been fired. We had to switch developers. Bottom line is simply this. Our website is this close to being launched. Really close. In the meantime, send us an email at info@MilesFranklin. We still have a website, milesfranklin.com. You can't purchase on it. Doesn't quote prices. But send us an email at info@MilesFranklin.com. Ask for a new price sheet. You will not be disappointed. We will not be undersold. We will make sure that your listeners are getting all of their questions answered. We will contact them if they wish to be contacted. We will send them a price list with no obligation, and our prices will be as good or better as anyone in the United States. And we have never, ever, ever had a customer complaint. You won't find one. We're one of only 27 U.S. Mint authorized resellers in the world, and maybe one of the only companies in America that is fully licensed and bonded. My corporate entity is in Minneapolis. It's been there for 33 years. It's the only state in America that mandates licensing and bonding in what is a federally non-regulated industry. So please put in there the health ranger sent me so we know it came from you. We will make sure that they get special care. We will make sure they get the best price with no obligation. We'll answer any questions that they have.
Yeah, I want to be clear too. You know, you're not a sponsor, right?
Not
I'm not
penny.
Compensated. I'm not an affiliate of your company. In fact, you know, our sponsor is the Treasure Island Company, which I'll mention at the end of this interview. And I plug them all the time talking about this. But I have you on, Andy. There's no financial relationship between us whatsoever, but I have you on because you have the best grasp and the best communications capability of what's going on. And you saw this before anybody else. And in fact, I want to ask you this question. The fundamental issue that Silicon Valley Bank faced was, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they had so much deposit money from their customers, the VC companies, they ended up, for whatever reason, purchasing long-term government bonds at 1.56% yield right before the Fed started hiking interest rates like crazy. And then when some customers wanted their money out, the bank had no liquidity in these long-term bonds, so they had to start liquidating these bonds at a loss, which is what happens when you buy crappy interest rate bonds and then interest rates rise, right? You get caught big time. And then, of course, that led to the bank run that happened there. But this fundamental issue, as I understand it, exists for all kinds of other banks right now, does it not?
Yeah, it does. So let's make an explanation of how this happens. Well, when you make a deposit into the bank, it's not really a deposit. It becomes not an asset of the bank, I guess I should say. It's a liability. The bank needs to offset that liability with an asset. And that asset is usually a bond, treasury or real estate, mortgage-backed security. And remember, during the pandemic, the president eliminated all bank reserve requirements. So the banks have very little currency on hand to meet customer demands. And if there's even a small run on the bank, the bank is forced then to sell its bonds at a huge loss to meet their customer demands to get the money back. And like you were saying, if the bonds pay 2%, which is probably about right because most of the short-term treasuries until recently were paying, 1-2%. And,
right.
And interest rates today are, on those bonds are close to 5%. So they've lost well over half of their value or more of those bonds that they're forced to liquidate to meet demand for withdrawals. And if the demand for withdrawals is large, like we just saw, a big bank can become insolvent within 24 hours, which we just saw. And the FDIC is a scam. It can't handle this. Their insurance fund, Mike, has 0.03% of total bank deposits insured. In other words, they have about $180 billion backing $9 trillion. And so one or two banks will drain it all. And the only way to save the depositors then is to monetize the banks, print currency to make them solvent while destroying the value of our currency.
All right, I want to ask you, about the FDIC. Yeah. You're nailing it, but let me. I looked at these numbers last night. Here's my understanding that the FDIC before today had $125 billion in its rescue fund. Okay, and the total deposits in commercial banks across the United States is almost $10 trillion. It's like $9.5 trillion, something in that range. And the FDIC, as you said, has a fraction of the funds needed to bail out other banks. The problem is the FDIC essentially just spent maybe most of its money bailing out three banks. Mm-hmm. And what happens next week? Right? What about the next failure and the next failure? The FDIC has no money left, or essentially none. And then at that point, aren't they just going to be forced to, print money to bail out the banks? And, that never ends well.
Yeah. What is it? The banks or the dollar? I mean, take your choice. And, what happens when Japan and China start dumping treasuries and dollars? And we've talked about this. This is your Operation Sandman. And what happens when that happens? God help us all, truthfully. I mean, right. We've created an environment that is sitting on a razor's edge, where we have been reliant upon the good graces of our foreign creditors. You know, we're talking about what's happening here and what Fed Chairman Powell and Treasury Secretary Yellen are going or not going to do. It's a bunch of crap. They have put us in this position, and the rest of the world sees it. And what happens when Japan and China start dumping their $2 trillion worth of U.S. treasuries? Who's going to buy them for a 2% return with inflation running at multiples of that number?
Or even interest rates. Who's going to buy new debt? The Treasury right. starts unloading a $200 billion tomorrow or today or tomorrow. I forgot. Who's going to buy that without demanding a much higher interest rate? So then the cost of servicing the national debt begins to skyrocket. And then you get into this death spiral.
That's exactly right. Math will solve this problem, Mike. Reality will solve this problem. Hyperinflation and depression will solve this problem. The problem is too much debt, and all debt must be repaid either by the buyer or by the lender. And, you know, look, when was the last time that the Fed and the Treasury and the FDIC held an emergency meeting on a Sunday and followed up with a speech by our president, who can hardly put three words together, saying, don't worry, look over here, not there. Look, they've lost all credibility. No inflation. Inflation is transitory. We will stop inflation. It's all crap. They're scared blankless. Well, and the time to be scared is when they tell us not to worry and we've got all of this covered and the taxpayers won't have to deal with this. It's a scary situation. And that's exactly why anyone who's in this industry right now, the good folks at Treasure Island, who are some of my oldest and dearest and best friends in the world, I know they would echo that too. So we're doing it. They're doing it. Everyone.
Well, and I know you don't focus on the culture wars, but on the financial side, you'll find this fascinating. You know, the Silicon Valley Bank reportedly was missing a risk manager for 9 months. And then they brought in a woman who had, I think, lesbian awareness day, but they never had risk awareness day, right? It was all this virtue signaling stuff. And a month-long program for trans and lesbians. But hey, what about your client's money? You know, like what about that? I mean, fine, you can be lesbian, but don't lose your client's money when you're being lesbian all day. I mean, for God's sake, people, what's the deal?
The deal is that, and this is so much of what has led me to believe that we're heading down a path where the rest of the world is going to move away from the dollar because not only of our mismanagement of the world reserve currency, our horrible monetary policies, our perceived hypocrisy and hegemony around the world, but these types of things, we have lost focus on what is really, really, really important, and the contagion of all of these types of failures is going to spread like wildfire as far as I am concerned. So yeah, I don't think you've seen anything yet. And certainly we don't have our eye on the ball right now. We're focusing on things that are just absolutely ridiculous. And the rest of the world understands this. We are not imposing whatsoever anymore. We are not showing strength. We are being laughed at by most of the world. And this is probably why you're seeing the central banks of the world buy more gold than at any time really since 1967, second most in history. That's a form of de-dollarization.
Oh, that brings us to the next topic that I wanted to be sure to get you to chime in on. And of course, I think you really spearheaded a lot of the conversations about the BRICS nations and the de-dollarization of the world. And we've seen so many moves since then, the Saudis working with China to clear energy transactions without using the dollar. We've seen India now do deals with all kinds of nations to say, hey, we're going to do transactions in rupees, you know, forget the dollar. Well, think about what just happened over this weekend. Does this inspire confidence in the dollar internationally? No. Your thoughts. No. Go ahead.
None whatsoever. And I think it only adds more fuel to the fire. And at some point, you're going to see these countries really turn up the heat. We have news that the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is 60% of the Eurasian landmass and, I don't know, 50+% of human population, that's independent of the BRICS and the Belt Road Initiative and the Eurasian Economic Union. And they're going to issue a gold-backed settlement currency. You have the BRICS nations, which are have over 60 countries waiting in line to join, including Saudi Arabia, who's already signed up, including Turkey, who's already signed up, who imported 58.3 tons of gold in January, the most that the most in the world, on top of buying more gold than anyone in the world in 2022. But we're seeing other things too. Look at in Davos, Saudi Arabia said, hey, we're open to taking other currencies for oil. And now Saudi Arabia is now making reconciliation with Iran, and China's brokering this deal. So you have the friend of, my enemy's enemy is my friend. You have these countries that are joining together, and they're looking past decades, centuries worth of mistrust and hatred, because they realize this is their one chance to, I think, break free of the Western hegemony. And the coalition of these countries, who are all massively accumulating commodities, using the leverage of the Western suppression to drain the exchanges. And they are doing so. India, as you mentioned, bought 304 million ounces of silver last year. Mike, that's more than the entire COMEX market has in its entire ecosystem, of which only 39 million ounces are backing the bars for delivery. That means the majority of the silver in COMEX isn't for sale. It's held by people who don't want to sell it. The amount of metal that is leaving the LBMA and the COMEX is extraordinary, and it's all moving to these countries that are forming a union against the West and the brain dead monetary policy and the wokeness and the stupid things that we're doing. It's only, I think, increasing the speed at which this happens. The central banks added another 77 tons of gold in January, and that was led by Turkey and China and Kazakhstan, all these countries that are moving away from the West. And it's just a matter of time before they exert a lot more pressure, whether it be the Moscow exchange, whether it be the official launch of the BRICS reserve currency pegged to commodities, or the Shanghai Cooperation Organization's gold-backed settlement currency. Whatever it is, it's coming. And you can see it by the speed in which this is accelerating. And these countries are de-dollarizing, accumulating metal, and forming mutually beneficial alliances, and that's really what's happening.
Okay, all right. Breaking news here out of CNBC. Here's their headline: something broke, but the Fed is still expected to go through with rate hikes. Now, you may have known, Andy, that last night Goldman Sachs put out a prediction that the Fed would skip its March 21st rate hike, but it would still hike rates in May, June, and July. However, today, according to CNBC, traders assigned an 85% probability of a 25 basis point interest rate hike in March from the Fed. Now, think about this. The Fed is saying that it's fighting inflation by raising interest rates. As they raise interest rates, they cause bank failures for the reasons we already covered, that banks have low yield long-term bonds that are losing value. So then the Fed has to print money to bail out the banks, which causes inflation. And then to fight inflation, they have to keep raising rates. This is insanity.
Yeah,
where does this end?
It is insanity. It all roads end at the same place with the blowing up of the economy. That's hyperinflation meets the Great Depression. It's hyperstagflation is exactly what it is. It's the worst of all possible outcomes. And I don't think they've thought this through. Yeah, you keep raising rates, you're going to blow up the banks, you're going to backstop the banks by printing more money, which creates more inflation, which raises interest rates. And you keep doing this, and these countries, these BRICS are going to say, done, we're done. And they're going to dump dollars, they're going to dump treasuries. There is Operation Sandman. When that happens, Mike, it's the Great Reset. Yep. Because when the dollars dump at the same time, everything that is inversely correlated to interest rate hikes will explode.
Get prepared, folks. The bank crashes have begun. Take care.